Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the first episode of Bama Baseline of the 2020-2021 season. I'm your host, Jackson, along with my fellow hosts, Zach and Brandon. And today we're going to be talking about the LSU game. What are your thoughts, guys?
LSU game tonight, another chance to sweep an SEC team this season. I personally went to the game today, and this was just a great performance for the Tide. You know, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There were some things we did really good, obviously some things we didn't do well, but overall, you know, an 18-point win is an 18-point win.
Yeah, for sure.
I really liked the way we took control of the boards because LSU is a really good rebounding team, and we needed to shut down their big men, and I really liked the way we crashed the boards tonight because rebounding was a big key to the win tonight. Yeah, unfortunately, Petty didn't play as well as we would have liked, but we still played a solid game.
For sure. One thing I noticed tonight that was probably one of the biggest factors was just whoever could secure an interior presence on the offensive side of the ball first was probably going to come out with the win tonight. Seeing as both teams shot 25% or below from three. And to be frank, we got inside first and we never gave it up. I thought Alex Reese had an outstanding night tonight. Is there anybody else you guys think had a great performance?
I'm going to give a little shout out to Juwan Gary. Being in the stands, it's kind of one of these things you don't get to see on television, but Juwan Gary, not only did he have a great performance tonight off the bench with 12 points and a bunch of other hustle stats that he had, but one of the biggest things that stood out to me was anytime the team was down in energy, which wasn't often in this game, but anytime they were, Juwan was everywhere and anywhere, yelling, screaming, doing pretty much everything he could to get the team going. You can see that in the hustle stats, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block. He was just a big spark plug off the bench and a good presence inside that I really think led to this win.
I, as you said about Alex Reese, I've been, like I say, people are sleeping on Alex Reese. He's had back-to-back good games after having a career high last game against Oklahoma. He came out and shot 5 of 8 today with 13 points. He's a great shooter, I like to think. And he's been a big boost to our team as of lately. And I hope he keeps up the play.
Yeah. And touching on that, I thought, Shackelford had an outstanding night tonight. I think he was one of the bright spots on the team, though we won by a blowout. But I thought there were a couple members of the team that put up a little bit of a stinker tonight. But Shackelford is quite the exception. I think he had the play of the night. His dribble drive might have been early on in the second half where he scored that near impossible layup It was really something to watch. And what also helped were his 3 boards, 2 assists, and obviously the 19 points.
You go ahead, Brandon. Oh, no.
So one of the things I was going to touch upon is just the fact that last game, right, Jaden Shackelford comes off and everybody's getting on him like, hey, you know, you had a bunch of missed layups. And he comes back tonight and just – he hit 1-3 out of those 19 points. Just dominated inside. And I think that's something to talk about. I mean, like, especially for as small of a guy Jaden Shackelford is, the way he creates at the basket is something very special. And he definitely took that criticism from last game and turned it around.
Yeah, like I was just going to say, I think Shackelford needed this game after how he ended last game with those 2 blown layups. Because, you know, when players miss shots, that's just going to stick with their head and they're going to think about that. So I think Shackelford needed this game and he came out and played well. So that's good for him. Even though he shot only 1 of 7 from 3, that's still like impressive. Like you said, 19 points off of only 1-3. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I thought the team tonight had another great game played, especially inside, especially on the boards, and it continues the SEC win streak to 10 wins, which is always nice. Flipping things around to the women's side of things, the women lost a blowout game against number 2 South Carolina, and tomorrow they will be playing number 25 Georgia. Any thoughts on the upcoming game?
Listen, this is a bounce back game for them. Obviously, it's tough to play the number 2 team in the country in any sport you play, so obviously, that's a tough loss. loss, but Coach Curry will have those women ready to go for number 25, Georgia, at home, Coleman Coliseum. I think they got a shot. I really do.
Yeah, Brandon pretty much hit it out of the ballpark with that one. I pretty much agree with everything he said. This is an important game for them to win at home, I think. Bounce back game. Let's just hope they come out and play.
Yeah, I'm hoping the energy the men brought tonight against a conference opponent in LSU will be reflected in the women's game against Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's always tough to come back from a blowout, but I think and I hope that they'll be able to come back. And just switching back to the men's side, something we didn't touch upon was the defensive side of the ball today for the Crimson Tide. I, when you can hold Trendon Watford to 9 points and really one of his worst games of the season, that's something special because he is a talented player regardless of the disdain that the Alabama fans have to him. He is a very good player, and to hold him to that is ridiculous. And that was a lot of the part on Reese. That was a lot of the part on Juwan Garrity and Herb Jones, who all did a very good job. The second thing I wanted to say and kind of ask you what you guys thought about it, Herb Jones goes out early in the second half with his fourth foul. He did not return the rest of the game.
I think that might be a potential statement on how the coach views Herb's play style. He's very active. He's very excited on defense. He's always on the ball, and he's always looking to get his hands on it. He plays a little reckless at times, but often it's rewarding for him. And on a night where you hold the LSU Tigers to only 30% from the field, I think his impact can't be understated. But with four fouls and not getting any more minutes, I just think Coach wasn't too confident he could stay under two for the remainder of the game.
I mean, the four fouls before, it was just a rough game. He playing defensively with all those fouls. The no minutes after the foul, I just see it as we were up by a lot and like there was just not a point for him to come back in. I don't think it was like a statement or anything Coach Oates was trying to make on Herb or anything, because like Herb is like a great player, as we all know. And I just think it's more of like rest him for the next game. Because I just don't see this being like any statement or anything. Maybe just rest.
I kind of agree with that. I mean, we do got to remember Herb has been somewhat banged up for the whole season. I mean, he's got that hip. Every time he comes on the sideline, he's got the shock therapy thing on his back. So I kind of agree. I think it's more so probably you're not playing in that great tonight. You got four fouls. We're up 15. You know, no need.
Just take your night.
Take a rest.
Yeah.
You know,
there's no statement. There's no way Coach Oates was trying to like prove a point or anything.
Yeah.
Oh no, I mean, just as in his active play style, he might get a couple more fouls, but I tend to agree with you guys more.
Yeah. And one other thing I wanted to touch upon, I wanted to see what you guys thought. Keon Ellis continuing to give the Tide solid minutes off the bench. 4 or 5 shooting, 2 for 2 from the 3-point line, 10 points, 7 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. I mean, that's a solid player off the bench.
Yeah, no, he's actually, I got to say, he's actually been catching my eye recently with the way he's been playing. He's been playing really well off the bench. Like you said, you brought up his stats, 10 points, 2 of 2 from 3, 4 of 5, only missing one shot. I mean, if he keeps up this play, our bench is going to be looking really nice come March.
Oh, for sure. I definitely think he was one of the more impressive bench players tonight. Javon got a few good minutes in there, but had 4 turnovers. He did shoot the ball relatively well, going 4 of 8 from the field with 10 points. But ultimately, Ellis was just more impressive, more efficient, turned the ball over less. But, yeah, a bench where your best 3 players are Javon Quinterly, Ellis, and Gary those aren't chumps. Those are no bums. These guys can play.
Yeah, and, I mean, think about who are missing. So, I mean, James Rojas still on basically house arrest with his minutes. I mean, he plays maybe 3 minutes right now because of his injury. Jordan Bruner's coming back TBD hopefully soon. They did say he's going to be back eventually. Now, whether or not that's before March or not is going to be interesting. But, you know, this team is starting to come together well, especially missing two guys who bring a lot of defensive presence, a lot of rebounding presence, and a lot of scoring. So.
For sure.
For sure.
I think a lot of guys picked it up tonight on the defensive side of the ball.
Oh, that was huge.
Especially the second half. The second half defense was chef's kiss.
Yeah. They were flustering them, and you could kind of see that with Will Wade on the sideline too. That was an impressive one. So
we needed this after Oklahoma.
But we're back on track. We got that SEC win streak going. You know, I guess I don't want to jinx us, but starting soon, we got to start asking, what's the magic number to win the SEC regular season? Because we only have, like, 9 games left.
Yeah, I actually had.
Yeah, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games left.
And a good amount of them are SEC.
They're all, yeah, I mean, like.
Any games catch your guys' eye?
Obviously, the Missouri game catches us, and we'll kind of talk about this later in the show when we start previewing the next few games. But if I'm looking at it right now, it's definitely Missouri coming up on Saturday.
I gotta say, I like to continue.
I just think a game you can't sleep on is Auburn. Auburn always gives us a run for our money. Mm-hmm. Can't sleep on that program. What were you saying, Jackson?
I was going to say, I think the Georgia game is one of the games I'm looking forward to. Georgia's been a well-coached basketball team for a long time now. They're not ranked this year, but Georgia's always going to give Alabama a good run for its money, no matter the sport. So let's hope we keep the win streak alive.
Yeah, I definitely think that's a good point. I think Georgia's also playing some pretty good basketball late now. But you never know. It's college basketball, one of the most unpredictable sports in the world. But with that, that's the recap of these past two games. So we'll be right back with the Bama Baseline podcast. So please stick around.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Bama Baseline. We're going to get into a little bit of the world of college basketball and what's kind of happening today. Alabama took care of business at home versus LSU, but there are other ranked teams going up today and a lot of ranked teams falling. Jackson, hit us with an upset today.
I think one of the biggest we all noticed was East Carolina beating Houston by 9 points. The Houston Cougars are ranked 9th in the AP poll. And East Carolina is completely unranked and only 2-6 in conference play this season. Pulling out the upset against Houston was close to impossible. They were led by Jaden Gardner with 22 points, and their bench also got their hands dirty. 13 points from Baruti and 3 points. And 3 points from Tyree Jackson. Ultimately, the story of the night had to be the defense. East Carolina played, holding Houston only 59% from the field while they shot 47%, and holding Houston to 31% from three while East Carolina shot 45%. I don't think the score really shows how bad of an upset this really was.
Houston was number 5.
Yeah.
Wait. Okay. Wow.
Zach, you notice anything tonight?
Yeah. An upset I really thought I noticed was the Pittsburgh upset over Virginia Tech. Mm. I wanted to point out that Virginia Tech had a player, Keeve Aluma, put up 30 points and lose. He put up 30 points off of 10 of 16 shooting, 4 of 7 from three. But the story of the night was Johnson from Pittsburgh with 32 points off the bench. He, not just that, he played 36 minutes, which is wild for a bench player, especially in college. And he also shot 11 of 17, 4 of 7 from 3. Like, what else can you ask from a bench player? Like, he literally just helped them single-handedly.
Wow.
What do you guys think about that?
I mean,
that's – go for it.
I don't even know if I can. That's just unheard of. Like, I'm speechless, right? 32 points off the bench?
Mm-hmm.
This dude said, give me that sixth man of the year right now.
Yeah.
Good.
The highest, the starter with the highest amount of points was Tony with 14.
Jeez. Boy.
What other upsets are you guys looking at?
How about in the SEC? South Carolina
about to go there.
Beating number 22 Florida. 72-66. AJ Lawson for the Gamecocks, 22 points, 8 rebounds, and 1 assist.
What a night. I think Florida lost this game because of the in product, like they got no production out of their bench. Absolutely none. The only person on their bench that scored more than 1 point was Anthony DeRuggi. I apologize if I butchered that name. Shooting 3 for 4 from the field and 0 for 1 from 3. Just an ugly night from Florida. Their starters all played fairly well, but again, just inefficiency from the floor doomed them, and they couldn't get any sparks out of their bench, and South Carolina ran away with it. Honestly, they weren't even that impressive from the field. Only 21% from three does not seem like a good enough number to really win a game, let alone against a ranked team.
Yeah, I'm looking at the box score right now, and the amount of goose eggs I see on the bench is just
yeah.
Like, it's not just like they didn't score. It's like they didn't do anything.
And it's not like they didn't play either. Like, Glover had 3 minutes and was out there running and jumping.
I mean, he got his exercise in today for sure.
Yeah.
Got his steps in, close those rings on the Apple Watch.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it might not be over for the ranked teams of college basketball on this fine Wednesday evening. I mean, Villanova's down 3 to St. John's at half. Virginia's mm-hmm. only up 4 at half against NC State. And Georgetown has taken it to Creighton up 11, 42-31.
I think there's going to be a lot of ranking shifts come tomorrow.
Yeah, you got that right.
It'd be interesting to see if Alabama's win against LSU might be able to boost them a couple spots after some of these upsets.
Well, you would hope with Houston falling, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll probably jump up to around, like, 8 maybe, if we're lucky.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I do still think there's a huge, huge, huge disparity between Gonzaga and Baylor and everyone else. But, yeah, I totally think we could jump into the top 7. Top 8 seems likely.
Any given day, come the tournament.
Oh, well, once March Madness is here, all assurances get thrown out the window.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of March Madness, let's talk a little bracketology, if we may. So, right now, according to Bracket Matrix, which is a compilation of almost all bracketology sites, has us as the second highest ranked 2 seed behind Houston, with the 3 1-seeds going to, obviously, number 1 overall, Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, and Villanova right now. Honestly, pretty much across the board, it looks like we got a bunch of 2s. There's a couple people saying we should be a 1 seed, but not a whole lot. ESPN has us as a 2. So, ultimately, where do you think we're going to be? And if you could choose, what bracket do you think you want to be in? What 1 seed kind of position do you want to be in, I guess, is the better question.
Well, according to ESPN, it's looking like we're going to be in the same region as Michigan. And even if we do get all the way up there to face Michigan, assuming they'll go all the way too, I'm not too confident that we could pull that out. So necessarily, I would just really like to avoid Gonzaga and Baylor, even though I'm not too sure we could handle Michigan. I'd take Michigan over the 1 and 2 seed in the nation.
I agree. I do not want to play Gonzaga at all.
No.
So, honestly, I'm looking at the bracket right now. I mean, like, we're playing as of right now, ESPN has us playing Cleveland State. So mm-hmm. I think that'll be an easy win. I just think it'll become either within the second or the third round is where we're going to start running into trouble.
Oh, for sure. Because they have Virginia and Purdue in this bracket as well. Really we'd have to meet the winner of assuming no upsets, we would have to meet the winner of Purdue, Virginia.
I would really like to see LSU pull off that upset and then us meet up them in the later round.
Oof.
I think that's also nice. One thing to mention is the other 2 seed that would be in Villanova's bracket, probably the most ideal bracket out of all of them, it's Houston, who just lost tonight. So,
yeah,
you know, with that, there's a possibility that we get put in there. And to be honest with you, kind of like that side of the bracket.
I do as well.
I mean, listen, there's Oklahoma State, Oregon, Kate Cunningham's really good on Oklahoma State, but
I'd say this region, like if we were to overtake Houston, say Alabama goes in for Houston, I'd see it as like a slightly easier path, but I don't think it's as much of a difference as worth saying.
Yeah,
we would still have to play Villanova to reach the Final Four. We would still have to go through Illinois. Oklahoma again, maybe.
Yeah, that it's tough.
I don't know if I can honestly say I'd be more confident, assuming we get the second seed from Houston and nothing in Region 4 of this bracket changes. I don't know how confident I am in a potential Alabama-Florida or Alabama-Illinois matchup. Florida hasn't been the best, but they are ranked and they are playing very well in the SEC despite the upset they just suffered. They actually might drop out of the rankings entirely after that. But assuming they work their way back up, I don't know. This Florida team just fights. They do not like their SEC opponents, and I think they learned from the loss to South Carolina. I think they have a great second half of the season. But honestly, I agree with both of you. Any bracket where we might be able to get Villanova as a 1 seed is more appealing than any of the other 3.
Well, listen, I mean, we're in Michigan's right now, and Michigan's got to deal with projected right now UMBC, who's the known 1 seed killer. So,
yep.
Got to get UMBC before you make it to the next round.
Right, exactly.
See before now, lightning can strike twice.
Yeah. Also, I think based on ESPN's bracket right now, there's one team in our side that probably worries me more than the 1 seed and the 3 seed, and that's the 4 seed in Texas Tech.
Yeah, I'm here to say that.
I like Chris Beard. I like that team. I like Mac McClung. They play hard defense. They get to the rim, and they're a very good basketball team.
I'm still scared of Virginia.
The problem.
What were you saying? Oh, sorry.
I just think the Virginia I like Virginia, but Virginia's biggest thing in the tournament and why they haven't been – I mean, granted, they did have a national championship, but why they mostly haven't been successful in the tournament as of recent years is they don't score. They can't score. They pack it in. You know, they score 50 points a game, and I don't care how great a defense you play. I mean, Alabama's going to score 50 points a game with your best defensive
effort. For sure.
So – To be honest with you, the reason I don't worry about Virginia as much as I do Texas Tech is because Virginia can't run with Alabama like Texas Tech would run with Alabama.
Mm.
Not to say that Virginia isn't a good team, though. I mean, Virginia's really good, but.
I just think Nate Oates is going to have our team ready come March.
Oh, yeah. This team's playing really hot, and teams can stay hot if they play hot. If they play good defense, teams can stay hot. And Alabama's been playing some good defense as of late. If anything, it's been their offense that's caused some slight hiccups along the past couple games, especially against Oklahoma. But I think if we could keep this defensive intensity up through March, I don't see how we don't make a super 16th or final eight appearance.
Elite eight.
Yeah.
Elite eight, excuse me.
I mean, I just think, like you said, we got to have our defense on par come March. I mean, that's just the key. I mean, our off, like, we also can't afford for Petty to shoot like how he shot tonight against LSU. Like, we need
this
Petty
has to be an anomaly.
Yeah, this has to be like a one-time thing where like he's this tough. I mean, Petty needs to, Petty's one of our more experienced players on our team. We need him to like come and perform. Like, he's been there before with Sexton. So like, he's one of the, like, he, him and Herb, I think, are the only two people on our team that were there with Sexton. So, and maybe Alex Reese too, but I
think Reese was there.
Yeah, but those three guys have been there before. I think they need to go, like, just have a meeting with the team and just tell them, we've been here before. This is what we need to do. This is what we need to do different than what we did last time in order to go further. So on, so on.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right with that.
Yeah.
I think it's just nice to be able to be like, are we not have to be looking at the first four – or the last four buys and the last four in. That's a little bit encouraging.
Yep. SEC tournament first two, boys. Don't forget.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough, though. Well, with 13 teams this year, Alabama might get a bye. Well, they will get a bye, but they could get a double bye.
How crazy does that sound? Alabama getting a bye in March Madness.
A double bye.
Insane.
That is literally like unheard of.
Well, let's see. With 13 teams, we'd probably shake that. Like, I don't think we would have to, if we were to secure the one seed, hopefully. But with the with Auburn not being able to play in postseason, that's only 13. And the way it would probably shake, I don't think we'd have to play until the quarterfinals or, you know, maybe one of the semi games. I don't know. I don't know how exactly it would shake down, but we wouldn't have to play for a while.
Yeah.
It's nice being able to go, you know, wait until Friday or, you know, Saturday to play.
But then we're going to have that urge. We just want to see our team play already.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think that's one of the best things about the SEC, though, because they play on that Sunday, like Selection Sunday. It's always SEC – ACC game Selection Sunday. That's one of the best. That's awesome. I don't know. I'm excited for it.
I'm excited to see how they like make everything work with like how they're going to do March Madness. Like, you know, everything like with coronavirus and everything. I wonder how like the arena is going to look. I mean, not like how it's going to look, but like how they're going to handle things with all these different players from all over the country.
And how about the fact that you have to have 7 negative tests before you come into the bubble?
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
It's a lot.
It sure is going to make a 16th seed upset of a first seed very, very anticlimactic.
Right.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
I hope it won't happen at Gonzaga, but
I hope our boys are quarantining come March.
Yeah.
Well, like, if – it doesn't matter. Whoever wins the SEC championship that Sunday, they don't get to go back. They literally would have to pack for however long they expect to be in the tournament, get on the plane from Nashville, and go to Indiana. There's no downtime. So I think you're going to see a lot of that too.
I'm just really excited to see us in the tournament this year. Can't lie.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Coming off a national championship, it gives you some hope.
Yeah. Nate Oates is trying to give Saban a run for his money.
Oh. No.
Nate Oates is trying to get some of Saban's money. I don't know. I just hope Nate Oates pulls like a Michael Jordan before they played Utah, and he's like, I packed a bag, and it's for 4 weeks because we're going to the Final Four.
Oh, yeah.
Just throws it in the plane. He's like, let's go. But –
I'm so happy that we have Coach Oates, man. He was a great hire.
Huge hire.
Oh, yeah. completely different from Avery. Completely different.
A little bit deeper of a voice. But we'll see come tournament time.
Yeah.
So, well, that has been our review of college basketball right now. When we return, we will be talking about the upcoming game for the women against Georgia at home, and we will also be talking about the upcoming game for Alabama at Missouri. So stick around, and we'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum. My favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
Welcome back to Bama Baseline. We are now going to be looking ahead for both the women's and men's schedules. For our women's team, we are playing at, we're playing the 25th ranked Georgia team tomorrow. I just want to get what your guys' thoughts on that. What do you guys think about the game tomorrow?
Well, anytime you go against a ranked opponent, it's obviously no small task, especially if you're an unranked team, let alone a ranked team within your conference. Hopefully, the women will come back strong after this sort of blowout. It was a blowout against two South Carolina, but I'm hoping there's a big difference between the second seed and the 25th seed. And if we get Jasmine Walker, Jordan Lewis, and Aria Copeland to lead the way, I don't see how we lose this game in Coleman Coliseum. I'm predicting something high scoring, maybe something along the lines of 78-72 Bama.
Okay.
I like that prediction, and I'm going to tell you why. I think tomorrow is going to be all defensive. Not that it's not going to be a high scoring game. It will be, but I think where the Tide is going to win it tomorrow is on the defensive glass. And, if we show up like we're supposed to and continue rebounding the way they are, I think the upset is not even close out of the question. And in fact, I think will happen. Tide wins. Let's go 72-65.
All right. Yeah. Just bouncing back off of what you guys said. I like Jackson said, if Walker, Lewis, and Copeland all come to play, that's going to be very key to us beating Georgia. And I personally don't see us losing in Coleman. Coleman is a hard place to win nowadays.
Yeah.
My score prediction, I think it'll be closer than what people think. I'm going to say 68-64 Bama.
I like that.
The real questions. The Alabama Crimson Tide take on the Missouri Tigers this weekend on the 6th of February. Missouri is ranked 18th. Alabama is ranked 10th. ESPN has Alabama favored to win. What are your thoughts on the upcoming game?
You go ahead.
I'm nervous. I'm a little nervous. I don't think we're going to lose, but this is going to be a dogfight. It's going to be an absolute war. You got to come to play.
Yeah, I mean, we need, like I said earlier, we need Petty to come and play. We can't afford him to have another bad shooting day. I really just think if Nate Oates gets everyone ready, you know, hey, this is a big game for us. Get them ready. And I don't know. And I just think Nate Oates, like I just said three times, Nate Oates will have him ready for the game.
Yeah, and I think one of the bigger things is you got to see if Shackelford can continue this play. You know, he came out tonight really well. So if he can carry that over and be kind of that second hand to John Petty, that'll be really interesting. I also want to see Alex Reese continue his streak against Missouri.
I'd love to see Alex Reese continue his streak. He's been playing amazing. I also really would like to see Shackelford, like you said, continue his bounce back off a good game, because Oklahoma, as we know, is not a good game for him. I think if Shackelford keeps shooting the ball like he does, I think we could be looking good for Missouri, but it's all depending how we play defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, one of the telling signs of this matchup is probably going to be how many points both teams scores. because Missouri is – they're no joke. These boys can score. Their most recent win against TCU in overtime, they dropped 102. In a loss to Auburn, they dropped 82, win against Tennessee, 73, and a win against South Carolina, 81. And they put up points against conference rivals. They are only 5-3 in the conference, and Alabama is 10-0. So dropping this game wouldn't be catastrophic, but it would be rough for rankings. And I don't think it's by definition a must-win game, but I think in terms of it's an in-conference game, they're also ranked 18th. 10th and 18th, there's a big difference, but they're still close enough to have some major shifting in the polls. But yeah, as you guys both mentioned, as long as Nate Oates has these boys ready to play some defense, I don't see how we lose this game, even in Missouri. And also John Petty definitely needs to come through from beyond the arc.
Yeah. Obviously another thing, like you said, is defense, right? And I think it's going to be interesting to watch Herb Jones in this game. Again, we talked about it. Herb didn't really play that much in the second half due to his foul trouble. It'll be interesting to see how he plays, because a lot of players will take fouling out, or basically what Herb did. They'll take it to heart, and they'll play a little less aggressive the next game. You know, they're not their normal selves. And with such a great defender like Herb, it's going to be really interesting to see if that happens, or if, you know, he can get together a coach in practice and kind of say, come to an understanding, like, yeah, I'm still going to play aggressive, but, you know, maybe let's not reach in the backcourt or something like that. So it'll be interesting to see how Herb responds to that and that challenge that'll be this weekend.
So what are your score predictions for this weekend's matchup?
I think this game can go one of two ways. I think it'll either just be neck and neck the whole game where, I don't know, our defense isn't really showing up, but our offense is. Or I just think we're going to kill them. I think we win either way, but I don't want to be the person to say, hey, don't come blaming me if we lose. But I personally see this. I think we can win this, even though it's an away game. I think Nate Oates wants to prove to everyone, even though we just lost to a ranked team in Oklahoma, that we can beat the ranked opponents. And I just think the boys are going to be coming to Missouri ready. Ready to win. Score prediction? I will say 78-65.
All right. For me, I think it's going to be a high scoring game, but I think it's going to be won by the defense. And I know that's kind of contradicting, but what we've seen Alabama do in these close games, and we've seen it in the Auburn game, is especially with teams that can score at a rapid pace like us, Alabama kind of defends well in the last 4 minutes of big games. And that's what I really like about this team. And that's I think what's going to happen. I think, you know, it's going to be neck and neck early. It's going to be a lot of points. Like, it's going to be 40 something to 40 something at halftime. It's going to be high scoring. But I think where the Tide's going to win it is they're going to bear down on defense and continue to score right around the 11-7 minute mark. So my score prediction is Alabama 98, Missouri 82.
Well, I think this matchup will definitely be decided by Alabama's players, essentially how ready they are to play. I think we can all expect good, if not great, things out of Shackelford and Reese. But the potential wild card is not only Alabama's bench, who had an excellent night against LSU, but also John Petty. I think if John Petty has a big night, I think it's a blowout all the way. But if John Petty is kind of, you know, playing a little bit average, I think it's close down the stretch. Ultimately, I think I'm going to put my faith in John Petty having a nice bounce back game, and I'm predicting a blowout. I'm going to have Alabama at 83 and Missouri at right around 56, 57. Wow. I think it's going to be a real punch in the mouth for them. I don't think they're going to be expecting it. Both of these teams have very similar stats on paper, but I don't think Missouri's ready. I don't think Missouri knows Alabama is a defensive team.
You're predicting a convincing win.
a convincing win. I'm expecting to get into the top five after this game.
Wow, big prediction. Mm-hmm. Top five. Let's
go big or go home on Bama baseline.
Whew.
I think at the
end. With Houston losing?
Go ahead.
With Houston losing, it's wide open. It's wide open.
Yeah, we just got to outperform Texas this weekend then.
Yeah.
Texas makes us anyway.
I also just think this, just to touch up on that topic, I think the score of the game is just going to be varied on how Bama plays. Like, as we saw this game, they were very good at like finishing at the rim this game, and other games we could shoot threes. I just think it's going to be based off of how we play. If we shoot threes, I personally think I have a higher score.
Yeah.
But I do think the X factor of the matchup is John Petty though. I think the flow of the game will be ultimately determined by his stats, his shooting percentage, what he does with his minutes.
I also want to see Javon like kind of produce for himself on Saturday. I think that'll be a big thing too. I mean, listen, Javon.
I would love to see Nate Oates give him the green light.
Right? Like, wouldn't you love to see?
Yeah.
I want to see Javon just absolutely ball out, man. I've been rooting for that man since he was in high school.
As I've told you guys before, my high school back home saw Javon twice a year for 4 years, and that man ripped us to shreds every time. He's electric with the ball in his hands. He's crafty at the basket. He can get over. He can get around. He can get under bigger players. His three-point shot, his shot overall is really solid. It's really pure. It's really clean. I just think right now he's a little bit buried. I think Nate doesn't really know exactly what to do with him, because there's some nights he goes out there and has a stinker, and there's some nights he goes out there and puts up some starting numbers. So I think if we can see Javon get more consistent towards the end of this season, and the Missouri game might be a big factor in that, hopefully he can see larger minutes potentially in March, or next year he could get a starting role.
Another person I want to see have a bounce back game, you kind of reminded me when you were talking about Petty, Josh Primo. Not a great game tonight. Didn't really shoot the ball well, which was fine. Again, he's a 17-year-old kid playing college basketball, and that's exactly what Kyra was. We saw that, you know, Kyra came in as a freshman. He was good, but not great. Played another year, came back, was great, and is now playing for the Pelicans. So Kyra kind of hit his stride at this point of his freshman year. So I'm kind of hoping for that from Josh Primo too, because, you know, you've seen the talent in him. He's crafty with the ball. He's good with the dribble. He can hit threes. And he plays good defense is one of the biggest things. So I'd love to see a bounce back game for Josh Primo.
Yeah. Just to touch up on that, he didn't really shoot the ball much either. He only shot three times, 1-3. But he did get five boards. I mean, he had the hustle categories that he hit. I thought, other than not just scoring the ball, I mean, he played pretty well outside of just not scoring.
I would agree. I just wanted to – if you look back at all the games where we score a ton of points and win by a ton, I mean, Primo was hitting at least four, maybe 5-3. So, I don't expect that kind of performance every night, because that's ridiculous, but – and I like to see that he got those hustle stats, but I also think he energizes the team when he scores, and I hope to see that on Saturday.
I just hope to see a convincing win like Jackson predicted.
Yes.
Please, 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 please.
I do like seeing Javon Quinterly getting 22 minutes off the bench, I got to say. I'm liking that.
Mm-hmm. Javon might benefit from getting some more minutes at shooting guard. I don't know how well the offense runs when the ball's in his hands, especially at the collegiate level. I think he's a lot more of a pure scorer than he is a pure point guard. I think his scoring ability is much more advanced than his passing ability, than his defense ability. It'd just be nice to see Nate Oates tell him to just let it rip from wherever he feels comfortable and see what he can do.
I couldn't agree more with that statement. I can't even add anything. That's perfect. I agree.
You need to see Jelly Fam come alive.
No. The things he used to do were just inhuman. Oh my God. Up around, like,
oh yeah.
In the back, like, ridiculous.
That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for.
That's what I'm looking for too.
Well, on that note, thank you all for tuning in and watching the first episode of Bama Baseline for the 2020-2021 basketball season. We hope to all see you here next week, same time on Thursday.